Good morning, everyone. We're going to make a wee start just to our service this morning. We're singing together hymn number 18 in our own hymn book. It's the first hymn in the order of service. It says, "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, brothers and sisters, draw near. Praise him in glad adoration." Let us really praise the Lord today with all our hearts and all our souls, giving thanks to God for all his goodness and mercy and for the wonder of his grace and salvation toward us in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stand as we sing, as the organist leads us in our praise, please. Just unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us look to the Lord today, praying that the Lord will draw near, that we will know his blessing in our hearts and our souls, in our time of worship and around his word today. Our heavenly Father, we do still our hearts, O God, before thee today. O God, we come before thee in no merit of our own. We confess we are unworthy in and of ourselves, even of the very least of thy mercies. Lord, we realize we have no good thing whatsoever to present before Thee of ourselves. But, O God, we thank Thee today for the welcome that we do find before Thee. We thank Thee, O God, for the invitation to come into Thy presence, not through any merit of our own, but, O God, through the merit of Thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He who was the Lamb of God, slain from before the very foundation of the world. And Father, we thank Thee today for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Mediator. We praise Thee and we thank Thee for Him who knew no sin. He became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And Father, we thank Thee that Christ was without spot. We thank Thee, Father in heaven, that Thou didst send Him forth into this world at Thine appointed time. And Father, we thank Thee for that perfect, spotless life of Christ. How could say of His heavenly Father, I do always those things that please Him. And Father, we thank Thee that He kept the law of God perfectly for us, that He was without blemish, He did no sin, He knew no sin. O God, Thy Word tells us that He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Yet, O God, we thank Thee that He died on the cross for sinners. He was identified with sinners on the cross. And Father, we thank Thee that He was numbered amongst the transgressors. And O God, Father, we thank Thee that He bore willingly upon Himself the wrath, the judgment of God that we deserve for our sins. He took it upon Himself as our substitute. And Father, we thank Thee that He died an atoning death. He died the just for us, the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we come to Thee today through Christ, pleading alone the value and the virtue of Christ. We thank Thee, O God, that we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank Thee, O God, that we who once were afar off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. And Father, we thank Thee because of Christ today. We can cry out to Thee, Abba, our Father. And we rejoice, O God, that Thou art a God of heaven who loves us, who cares for us. We thank Thee, O God, that we have that great hope before us as the people of God, being adopted into the family and fold of God. Father, we thank Thee that we can look forward to glory and to heaven itself. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou didst promise Thy people to give unto Thy sheep eternal life, that they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. And Father, we thank Thee today through faith in Christ as Savior. We can rejoice in the forgiveness of all of our sins. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou hast said, I, even I, am He that blotteth out Thy transgressions for Mine own name's sake. And Father, we thank Thee through faith in Christ as Savior. We're saved from the wrath to come, from a lost eternity in hell itself. For Thy Word tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank Thee that through Christ with grace sufficient for every need and every circumstance of life. And O God, as we come to Thee today to worship Thee, the great I Am, the One who is from eternity to eternity, O God, we pray that Thou would just look upon us today in favor and in grace. Look upon us in Christ today, O God. And bless our coming together, we pray, O God, we beseech of Thee. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Take our hearts and minds of ourselves and focus our hearts and minds upon the Lord. Thou said in Thy Word that Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Thee. And we thank Thee, O God, that we can look to Thee in every circumstance and every situation of life in which we find ourselves in. Bless every believer in Christ in this meeting house today. We thank Thee for each one that is saved, that can rejoice in God's so great salvation. Lord, bless Thy people, O God, we pray. And Lord, lead Thy people onward and heavenward. Lord, even help us today to ponder anew as we've been singing what Thee, the Almighty, can do. We thank Thee, O God, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord, and that Thou hast said in Thy Word that Thou art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Remember any with us today maybe walking afar off from God. Lord, restore unto them the joy of Thy salvation. And Lord, for any in our gathering, old or young today, and they're not saved, Lord, speak to them.
May they realize the brevity of life, the certainty of death, the great need to prepare for judgment to come and to be saved. And oh, even today, Lord, may they flee from the wrath to come and flee unto Christ for salvation. We thank thee that there's a welcome for the Savior. For he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Bless everyone, every family and household represented here today. Bless our homes and our families. Unite our family circles in the Lord. Grant that in our homes we'll know a gracious sense of the presence and the blessing of the Lord, that thou wilt protect our homes and our families, Lord, from the onslaught of this evil and ungodly world. We pray that in our homes there'll be that, as it were, foretaste of heaven, even upon earth, we pray. Remember, Lord, those that cannot be with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. We do bring them before thee in faith and in prayer. Lord, touch them, lay on thy healing hand upon them, strengthen them and encourage them. Lord, those that would tend a bed of sickness, may they know thy help and presence and nearness also. And Lord, those that have suffered loss in recent times, bind up that broken heart, fill that empty chair with the presence of God, and be their helper and be their strength in their time of need, we ask of thee. Again, we thank thee for our Sunday school and Bible class this morning. Bless thy word to our children, to our young people. May they be saved and walking in the ways of God. We thank thee for the week of prayer last week and the spirit of prayer amongst your people. And Lord, may this continue even throughout this new year that lies before us, we pray. May that spirit of prayer amongst us rise and increase, and that burden intensify day by day. For thou hast promised in thy word that if we seek thee and search for thee with all our hearts, that thou hast promised that thou wilt be found of us. We thank thee for the meetings last week as well amongst the boys and girls, and bless again these meetings as they continue this year, and that through them many children not only will hear thy word, but will come to know and trust the Lord as their Savior. Bless our land, O God, today we pray. The Lord, as a nation, we have turned far away from thee. Yet, Lord, remember us in mercy, we pray. Leave us not to ourselves, we pray. And we pray today, bless wherever the word of God is faithfully preached across this land, north and south of the border. We think of England and Scotland and Wales. We pray that there'll be a turning in the hearts of many unto the Lord, and in grace and in repentance and in faith, we pray. And that thou, Lord, will visit these islands again as in former times, and that there might be seasons of reviving and refreshing from the presence of the Lord. We pray for our Queen and our royal family, that thou wilt have mercy, Lord, upon them. We pray that the light of thy truth and the light of the gospel would shine into that household, we pray. And that, Lord, there might be a turning from darkness to the light, and the life and the liberty of the gospel, we pray. Again, Lord, we pray for those that would rule over us in our land and our nation, that thou would turn their hearts unto the Lord, and that they might realize their great need to rule in accordance with thy word. And Lord, those that would seek to bring in laws contrary to thy word, and Lord, that may even hinder the gospel of Christ, we pray that thou would bring their plans, their schemes, O God, to nothing, we beseech of thee. And that, Lord, thou wilt have mercy upon us in these days in which we live. Bless our missionaries today, O God, at home and abroad. We pray for them, that thou wilt bless them. We think of thy servants there in the land of Spain. Remember the Reverend Hannah. Remember Uncle and Veris and his wife and family. We pray for the Burnabos as well and others who labor with them in that land. We thank thee for the tokens for good in recent times, and continue to strengthen their hand in God. Bless them this year, we pray, and use them for the glory of the Savior. Be with us now, we pray, and do our hearts much good. Bless us around thy word as we further praise thy name. Lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit, and in everything that is said and done in this house today, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be honored and glorified, that sinners might be pointed to the cross, and that man would be hidden far behind the cross. For we ask it all in the Savior's name, and for thy glory and honor and praise. Amen. Now we're going to turn this morning, please, in the Word of God for Scripture reading to the book of the Psalms. Reading today from Psalm 121.
You'll find the book of the Psalms in the middle part just of the Old Testament. And we're turning to the Psalm 121, beginning our reading just at the verse 1 of that Psalm. Let us hear God's word as we read it together this morning. Psalm 121 and the verse number 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the verse number 8. We pray that God will bless this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day morning to God's house. Good to see each one gathered with us here today. We bid you all a very warm word of welcome, a special welcome in the Lord's great name. And indeed, if you're visiting with us, it's always a joy to visitors to share in our fellowship. Trust that you'll feel at home and know the blessing of the Lord. If you're a believer, may you be strengthened in your faith, drawn closer to the Lord. But if you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer even is this day, you'll come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone, a Savior. Welcome also those who may be viewing online as well. Wherever you are today, we pray the Lord will draw near to you and meet you at the very point of your need. Announcements for the week are as follows. Do remember, please, the evening prayer meeting tonight at 6:30 in the prayer room at the back there. Encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer before the gospel meeting. The gospel meeting will be at 7 p.m. and we'll be long to bring God's word. Tonight we'll be preaching just on the Lord's saving power. So do remember that, pray for it. And do plan to come along and to invite and encourage others with you in under the sound of God's word for our gospel meeting this evening. Tuesday night, 8 p.m., is our normal midweek prayer meeting night. It will be the form of a missionary prayer meeting. And our brother, the Reverend Jonathan Crean, will be with us to speak and also to give a report and update on the work of the Ploughing Outreach. And there'll be a DVD and a retiring offering for that work. So do remember that. Do come along and be blessed and encouraged through our brother's ministry on Tuesday evening. So do remember that, please. Friday night, 6:30, is the weekly children's meeting. Be much in prayer for all the children's meetings as they continue on this term. And then the Bethel meeting here on Friday night, 6:30. Be much in prayer for Gillian and all the team of workers who help in that. And then at 8 p.m. is the youth fellowship meeting. We commend that to all the young people. Trust as many as possible will gather for that time of fellowship. And that's really open to all young people from P7 and upwards. You're welcome to come and invite and bring friends and family members along as well to the youth fellowship. Next Lord's Day, the 23rd of January, Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. Morning worship service at 12 noon. The evening gospel service at 7 p.m. Both services preceded by the half hour of prayer. We belong to bring God's word. And then at the evening service, the soloist will be our brother, Mr. George Walker from Lurgan. Do pray for him as he comes to sing for us in the gospel next Lord's Day evening. Do also ask you to pray for Rebecca and Glenn on their wedding day here on Thursday this week. Pray for them. The Lord will bless them on their wedding day and their families as they join together and bless them in their new life together, that God's hand of blessing and grace would be upon them. And then on Lord's Day, the 30th of January at 7 p.m., we're having a special testimony meeting here in the church. Our brother, Mr. Matthew Hunter from our church in Randestown, will be long to tell of how the Lord has saved him and how the Lord has delivered him from a life of drug abuse. So do pray for that. Do make it known. We'll have wee invites for that, and we encourage you to do all you can to invite, encourage others in, maybe other young people involved in drug abuse or drug addiction. And do make it known, and do all you can to invite friends and family in for that testimony meeting. That's 30th of January at 7 p.m. Again, a word of thanks to all who are able to attend the week of prayer with a tremendous week of blessing. And we pray that the Lord will continue to bless us this year and answer your prayers and that that tide of blessing and of prayer would rise even throughout the year that follows. There are some vision magazines available there. Can I say those are now free for everyone? So just take a copy as you leave if you haven't got your copy. There's also free envelopes there and calendars as well. It's the new year. Those are free. Take them with you as you leave. That's really all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again to the hymn number 267. We don't take up an offering. The offering plates are at the rear there as you leave. But this is a wonderful hymn of testimony. I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory from the cross to on Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints of glory gathered by the crystal sea. And we'll keep our seats while we sing. And let us sing it out with all of our hearts. Well, we just seek the Lord in a wee word of prayer. Perhaps we could turn again to that psalm as well, Psalm 121. And with God's word open before us, let us look to the Lord, praying for help today, divine help in the ministry of God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray for Rebecca and Glenn on their wedding day on Thursday, that Thou would bless them, that they would know Thy presence, guidance, and grace on that day and on their life together in Thy will that lies ahead, that Thy blessing and abundant grace will be their portion, and also Thy blessing upon the families and the family circles as well. We thank Thee also today that as we come now to Thy word, that we can seek Thee and call upon Thee, Lord, for help as we look to Thy word. And Lord, our prayer is today that Thou would just bless Thy truth to our hearts as we consider afresh Thy word, Thy truth. Father, we pray that our hearts and our minds would be open to hear what God the Lord would say. And Lord, help us to hide Thy word, O God, in our hearts, that we might not sin against Thee, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray that Thou would just use Thy word, O God, today to build us up as Thy people in our most holy faith. For any with us today, a stranger to grace and to God, we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt so speak to them through Thy word, that they will know, Lord, and feel their need of Christ as Savior, that even today that they might come in faith and in repentance unto the Lord. To this end, undertake, pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and hearer alike. Give help to preach Your word, give right words, liberty, plainness, simplicity, Lord, of speech. Grant us the mind of God, the mind of Christ, we pray. And let the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified amongst us. For we ask it all and for Jesus' sake and glory, giving Thee thanks. Amen. And amen. We'll turn to Psalm 121, that passage we read earlier. Just want to look at this psalm. We commenced last week a study in the Songs of Degrees. In the book of the Psalms, this is the second of those songs of degrees, Psalm 121. Now, Psalm 121 is a psalm, yes, of great encouragement to the Lord's people. It has been called the Traveler's Psalm, and it has also been called the Soldier's Psalm, a psalm that has brought comfort to soldiers in battle and to those maybe traveling a distance from home. Yes, some Bible commentators believe that Hezekiah penned the psalm when Jerusalem was being besieged by the Assyrians. And then there are others, and they believe that it was penned by David himself during the time of Absalom's rebellion, whenever his son rebelled against him and brought great trouble to the household of David and Israel at that time. Yes, the psalm, yes, is a favorite in times of trouble. Whenever the shadows deepen and the future looks bleak, God's people have often found great comfort and great consolation in the words of this psalm. You look at verse 8 there, right at the very end of the psalm. It says there, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even for evermore." And those very same words, they used to be mounted on a plaque near one of the exits of the old Erne Hospital here in Enniskillen. No doubt these words were a great comfort to patients, to families and to staff in times of great need and in times of illness and trouble. Yes, the psalm itself consists really of two parts. In the opening verses of the psalmist there is looking to the Lord for help and for encouragement. And then in the remainder of the psalmist is really testifying to us of the Lord's power and might and presence being employed on the behalf of His own saved and redeemed people. Now back in Psalm 18 in the verse number 2, the psalmist there gives a wonderful description about the Lord. He says there in that verse, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." And those words really tell of the Lord being the guardian of His people, the guardian of His church.
And my, this is the wonderful theme that is before us here in our psalm today, Psalm 121. Yes, here we read of the Lord being the guarding of His people and of His church, the church of the redeemed. And as we would look then at this psalm and think upon the subject of the Lord being the guardian of His people, there are two things I want just really to set before you from the psalm. Notice first of all here with me that as the guardian of His people, the Lord is their King. Look at verse 1 and verse 2 of the psalm. The psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And here you see from those words that in a time of fear, in a time of distress, the psalmist, yes, he considers the hills around the city of Jerusalem. And in doing so, he is reminded of the Lord Himself who made those very hills out of nothing. Look again at what he says in verse 2 of the psalm. He says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. As he thought of the hills around Jerusalem, he remembered the Creator, that the Lord is the great I Am. As the Lord was the great Creator of the earth, this the psalmist knew that he could then rely on the Lord to protect him from the enemy in this time of great need in his life. And Christian, can I say to you in the meeting house this morning, in your times of darkness, in your times of trial, follow the example here of the psalmist in the psalm. Remember, yes, that the Lord is the great Creator of the universe. Remember these words in verse 2 when the psalmist says, my help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. In your time of trouble, set your eyes upon the Lord. And remember who the Lord is. He is the great Creator. He is the Almighty God that we were singing about earlier on in our service. Yes, the Bible tells us the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. And being the Creator of the world and the universe, such is His power, He is able to help you, believer, in every time of need. He is able to help you in every emergency of life that may come across your path. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. And what a chapter this is for the believer to read and to study. I commend it to you in the meeting house today when you go home today this afternoon. Read through Isaiah chapter 40. Look at how it begins. Verse 1 of Isaiah 40 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. And here the trust of Isaiah's ministry at this time was to bring comfort to the people of God in their time of need. And how did he do that? By setting before them the greatness of the Lord in the chapter. And look in particular what he says in verse 9 of the chapter 40 of Isaiah. He says, O Zion that bringest good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. He wanted the people of God in their time of need to behold their God. And look at how he describes the greatness of God in the chapter. Look at verse 12 in particular. He asks here a series of questions about the world, about creation. And really the Lord is the answer to every one of these questions. He says, who have measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains and the scales and the hills in a balance. And the answer to all those questions is the Lord. The Lord, yes, has measured the waters of this world in the hollow of his hand. The Lord, yes, has meted out the heavens with the span of his hand. Yes, the Lord comprehends the dust of the earth. He knows the weight of it, as it were, in a measure. Yes, the Lord is one who weighs the mountains and scales like hills in a balance. He made it all. He knows it all. He is the great I Am, the great Creator. And this is the one that Isaiah tells God's people to behold. He says, behold your God. Christian, in the meeting this morning, I say to you, in your time of need, in your time of trial, whatever it is, behold your God. Lift up your eyes unto the Lord. Follow the example of the psalmist in her psalm, and he says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Remember who the Lord is. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. He is the creator of the world. He is the sustainer of the world. The hymn writer, speaking of the Lord, says, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. And child of God, the Lord, yes, can meet the need of your life today, whatever that need is. He can meet the need of your home, the need of your family. He can meet every need in your work and in your witness for Christ. Yes, the Lord is greater than all our needs put together, whatever those needs are. He is immortal. He is invisible. He is God only wise. Oh, remember the words of Paul as he writes to young Timothy. He says about the Lord, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And my yes, the Lord is the one who is the King of his people. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Yes, as the guardian of his people, the Lord is our King. Remember that today, child of God, in your time of need, that the Lord is your King. He is King of kings. He is Lord of lords. But then in the second place, we can say further this morning that as the guardian of his people, the Lord, yes, is their keeper. He keeps his people. The Lord keeps his people when they are weary. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 of the psalm. It says there of the Lord, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Notice the emphasis upon this word, keep. Yes, the Lord is the keeper of his people. It says there in verse 3 in particular, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Now, whenever the Assyrians were besieged in Jerusalem, Hezekiah was confident that the Lord would keep the city from falling. So what did he do? He prayed, and God answered his prayer by giving him this wonderful promise. He says, I will defend the city to spare it for mine own name's sake. And Christian, when you take your stand for God in life, and when you do what is right in the eyes of the Lord will not fail you. The Lord will be your keeper. In Psalm 84, verse 11, it says there, for the Lord God is a sun and shield and will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What a promise. Again, look at verse 3 of the psalm. There it says, he that keepeth thee will not slumber. And this tells us really how the Lord keeps his watchful eye upon us in life. He does not slumber. He's not like the false gods of the heathen who are dead, who cannot see, who cannot hear. No, God sees all things. He knows all things. It says, or he that keepeth thee will not slumber. And the Lord's watchful eye is upon us as his people day by day. What does it say over in the book of 1 Peter? It says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And Christian, when you and I are weary in life, the Lord's eye is upon us. Not only is his eye upon us, but his ear is open to our prayers, to our petitions, that we may bring to him at the throne of grace. Yes, the Lord keeps his people when they're weary. The Lord, yes, we can say further, keeps his people when they are weak. Look at verse 5 of the psalm. It says there, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Notice that thought there. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. In Bible times, the right hand of the soldier was used to wield the sword in the day of battle. Thus, in the day of battle and in weakness, the psalmist was really saying here that the Lord would be his strength, the Lord would be his stay. And he says here in verse 5 of the psalm, the Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. My, that's how Joseph found the Lord to be in his life. Turn with me back to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 49. And here you read about Joseph. Joseph, yes, as you know, was a young Christian, young man down in Egypt. He had many testings and trials and temptations, but he found strength from the Lord. And look at what you read about him in verse 22 and verse 23 and verse 24 of Genesis chapter 49. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. Verse 23 says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. That speaks of the attack of the enemy upon him. It was relentless. It was constant. But look at his strength. Look at verse 24. It says, but as a bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong. It says, by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Well, where did Joseph find his strength from? It was from the Lord. We're told there that his hands were strengthened by the Lord, by the mighty hands of the Lord. He knew the Lord's strength to go on living the Christian life and doing what's right in the eyes of God and honoring the Lord. Again, you think of the Apostle Paul when he was physically weak through his thorn in the flesh. What did God say to Paul? He said, my strength is sufficient for thee, or my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, he says, is made perfect in weakness. In his weakness, he knew the grace. He knew that the strength of God. Believer in the meeting this morning, yes, the Lord can keep us when we're weak. When we're weak, even as a child. David says in another psalm, he says to the Lord, by thee have I been holden up, he says, from the womb. He knew the Lord's strength even as a child. He testifies of that. And also, the Lord can keep us when we're weak with old age and weak with infirmity of body. Again, think of what the Lord says to his people in Isaiah 46, verse 4. He says, even to your old age I will bear, I will carry, and will deliver you. What a promise. The Lord keeps us when we're weak as a child. He's promised to keep us right to the very end of life's journey as well. Also, we can say further that the Lord keeps his people when they are confronted with wickedness both day and night in their life. Look again at what the psalmist says in verse 6 and verse 7 of the psalm. He says there, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Believer, in this world, in this scene of time, yes, you and I have to do battle with evil, with sin. We have to do battle with that old, evil, sinful nature within us as the people of God. Paul the Apostle said, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And he knew what it was to battle with that old sinful nature in his heart and soul day by day as a believer in Christ. And that's a battle that you and I have got to contend with and deal with day by day as the people of God, then in the world around us as well. We have to battle against sin and evil and all the attacks of the devil upon us. The Bible speaks of this world in 1 John 5, verse 19. It says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. In other words, this world lies in the lap of the evil one, the devil himself, Satan himself. All around us in this world, there is evil, there is sin. And day by day, as God's people, yes, you and I are confronted with evil, sin and temptation without and within. Well, day by day, believer, we can pray and we can ask the Lord to help us, to keep us from evil and to keep us from sin. And that's what the Lord teaches us to do in prayer. Turn with me in your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel and to the chapter number 6, a very well-known passage of Scripture. It really deals with the Lord's Prayer. A passage of Scripture I'm sure we've all learned in Sunday school and Bible class or whatever, from our earliest of days, and what truth there is here for us. But here the Lord was speaking to his disciples, to his own, about prayer. And look at what he says to them in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and the verse number 9 and the verse number 13 of the chapter. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And what were they to pray for? They were to pray for many things, but one of the things in particular, look at verse 13. of Matthew chapter 6, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." There the Lord teaches you and I as believers to pray day by day that the Lord would keep us from sin, from evil, from temptation, from that which is wrong and contrary to God and to the ways of God. And in our psalm here this morning, in Psalm 121, that the psalmist says there, "The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul." And he goes on there at the beginning of verse 8, he says, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in." And child of God, yes, when we are at home and when we're away from home, we can depend upon the Lord. We can look to the Lord for his preserving power, his preserving grace to keep us from evil and to keep us from sin. Says there, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in." And that's something we should pray for daily in our lives as believers when we're at home and when we leave the home in the morning, go out to do our day's work, whatever it is, out in the community, that the Lord would preserve us, keep us from evil, keep us from sin, keep us from doing that which is wrong in the eyes of the Lord, keep us from going down a wrong pathway that would hinder our testimony and our walk with God. The hymn writer says, "Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through." How important it is that we commit each day to the Lord in prayer. We pray for God's protecting hand upon us from sin and from evil in our going out and in our coming in. But notice one final thought here from the psalm, and it is this, that the Lord is one who keeps his people unto life eternal. Look at the very last statement there of the psalm. It says in verse 8, "The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth." And then notice this little phrase, "and even for evermore." The thought here is the Lord keeps his people secure unto life eternal. Yes, in life and in death, the Lord keeps you and I who are saved unto eternal life, unto eternal glory and heaven itself. The Lord who saves is the Lord who keeps. Turn with me over to the little book of Jude, right at the end of the New Testament, just before the book of Revelation. Look at the little book of Jude, a wonderful book for the believer to study. There's much in it about the end times. But look at verse number 24 of Jude. Now, what a promise this is. Here Jude is writing to the Christian, to you and I who are saved. Verse 24 of the little book of Jude. And I encourage you, believer, mark this verse in your Bible. It'll be a comfort and a blessing to your soul. And here he's speaking about the Lord, and he says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." And here Jude is exalting the Lord. He's magnifying the Lord. It says he is able, it says, to keep you from falling. He says he's able to present you faultless. This is speaking of heaven. This is speaking of glory. Able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. And child of God, get a hold of this truth today. The Lord who saves you is the Lord who will not let you go. He's the Lord who keeps you. He keeps his people unto life eternal. And this keeping unto life eternal is all due to what Christ has done, our Savior, our Mediator. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, "For he was delivered for our offenses. He was bruised for our iniquities." Think of Christ today in the cross of Calvary, dying for our sins. He cried out, "It is finished." And by that sacrifice, what did he do? He satisfied God's justice by his sacrifice, by the shedding of his blood. He paid the debt of our sin in full. He paid that penalty in full. Thus the Bible says, "For Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God." It was the completed work a once for all sacrifice for sin. The Bible speaks of those whose faith is in Christ for salvation. It says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And by his death, what did he do? He satisfied God's justice. He purchased eternal life. He purchased pardon for sin, peace with God for all who will trust him and trust Christ and rely upon him alone as Savior and for salvation. Therefore, child of God, it's because of Christ, because of what he has done for you upon the cross, that God keeps you and I and his redeemed people unto life eternal, unto life evermore. Therefore, child of God, because of what Christ has done for you, as the hymn writer says, you are safe in the arms of Jesus, even unto life eternal. You think of the promise of Christ. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. You turn over there to 1 John and to the chapter number 5. And just look at what you read there in verses 11, 12, and 13. What a word here to encourage the assurance of God's people of heaven and of glory. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11, it says, this is the record. This is what God states in his word, that God have given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son have life. He that have not the Son of God have not life. Then John says these words, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye can be sure about this here on earth, here in this scene of time, that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. O child of God, the Lord is one who has saved you, will keep you. Will keep you unto life eternal. That is why this psalm has been such a blessing, such a comfort to God's people. Even when passing through the valley of the shadow of death and leaving this world, leaving the scene of time, to know that they're safe and secure in the hands of Christ, safe unto life eternal. Can I say, friend, in the meeting this morning, if you're still not saved, realize this, and I want you to see this, understand this, you have no one to keep you in life. You have no one to keep you in death. You have no one to keep you in eternity without Christ in this meeting house today. You're really like a ship without an anchor. You're like a ship without a captain, as we're drifting along aimlessly upon a life sea. And my, if your sin is not forgiven, your sin, yes, will ruin your life. It will condemn you to a lost eternity in hell. The Bible says, he that believeth not shall be damned. Therefore, friend, today, if you are to be wise, turn away from self and sin and turn to Christ by faith. Look to him and trust in him for salvation. Rest upon his finished work alone. Rest upon the blood of Christ for the blotting out of your sins. He will save your soul. He will forgive all your sins. He will give you a place in heaven. The Bible says he is able to save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. This day, if you're not saved, man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting, flee unto Christ, trust him. He'll forgive all your sins, bring you into his family, and he will save you and he will keep you unto life eternal, unto life evermore. Oh, don't go away without the Lord. Trust him. Believer, rest upon the Lord who is able to keep you day by day and keep you even unto life eternal. We're going to close our meeting this morning by singing together hymn number 570 in our hymn book. It's the last hymn in our own order of service this morning. It says, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he have said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. A wonderful hymn of truth, reminding us of the help, the power, the security, the keeping grace that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Savior
and Redeemer. We'll stand as we sing and singing it out with all of our hearts. We thank Thee for Thy presence with us here in Thy house today. Write the truths of this great psalm upon our hearts. And Father, our prayer is that every soul in this meeting, from the very youngest to the oldest, will know what it is to look unto the Lord, to look to Him for salvation. And then help us day by day as Your people to be ever looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. O God, we thank Thee that we have today in Christ a wonderful Savior who saves, who keeps even unto life eternal. Bless us, take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies, we pray, and bring us back again in Thy will this evening hour. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all who know and love Thee this day and always. Amen. Amen.